The meeting is called to order at 7:11. Those in attendance. Yvonne Nass.
Jed Donahue.
Kiara Panola.
Beth Carter.
Mila Duckworth.
Angela Anthony.
Courtney Cox.
Erin Carroll.
Zeke Ellison.
Dwayne Sims.
Ryan Cobb.
Chanda Gilmore.
Regrets is Gina Castelli. We will move on to the minutes of the October 27th meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? May I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
I motion to accept the minutes.
Shonda Gilmore makes a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Dwayne Sims seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion has passed to accept the minutes. Finance report. Zeke?
Sure. So we've got a $6.5 million operating budget for the year. The end of October marked a third of the fiscal year down. We've gotten in about 60% of our revenue. During October, we got $500,000 in local funds. That's the most noteworthy piece. Our proposed expenditures for the whole year are going to be about $5.9 million. So far, we've spent about 28% of our budget for the year. And there are a couple of things we're waiting on. There's going to be a finalization of the staff credentials, which will have an impact on what our final state budget allocations are, and we won't really know that. We won't get that money until, I think, January, somewhere in there. And we've got a few items that are running above budget, but nothing that's really significant.
Okay. Questions? Comments? May I have a motion to accept our financial report?
So moved.
Jed Donahue's made the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Beth Carter seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is accepted. Financial report is approved. Governance.
So I handed out a self-evaluation. Did everybody receive one? So what we want to do is everyone should have had the opportunity at this time to fulfill their roles and make sure their skill sets match with the needs of each committee. So it's a good opportunity to just self-reflect and make sure you're in the right place. So we're asking if everyone could again, self-reflect, complete the self-evaluation, get them back to board chair, and so that way, at the end of the year, or at the annual meeting, she'll reach out at that time to have the conversations with folks to make sure they're in the right place. I'll just go through the other things that I'll have, and then I'll pass it on, if you don't mind, Angela, talking about the strategic plan. I know that was the second thing, so I am jumping into the head of school evaluation. Governance met, and we just kind of talked about the fact that evaluations probably, head of school evaluations will be done with the chair and someone else. Maybe the chair from governance if no one else is available, but we have to complete that training for that evaluation. I think right now that is one thing that has to be done. So we currently have the chair who is who's completed that evaluation training. So that's on the radar for someone else to complete that training. And then the board of director requirements. What we have is the board of director annual responsibilities to add with the background check, the financial training, and the due process training, the board training, the SFMA requirements or asks of the board in addition to the responsibilities from the Department of Education. So that is the annual fund, the leads, everything else we talked about, attending information sessions, and so that will be the modified document that we have to present forward to have a, you know, both items together. So that's what I have. I would like to...
I have one question.
Yes.
Around that, do we keep track ourselves, things we got this handout, or is this just to show us what we need to do? How do you want to...
So I can work with, I mean, it's something that, it's my understanding that the secretary would keep the document,
okay.
But as far as reporting the information, mm-hmm. if indeed you want to either let myself know, and I can kind of work with Chanda to make sure the information is recorded.
So we'll see, we'll send you a copy, CC one to Chanda, and then they can record it. Okay,
yes.
Just wanted to know the process.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Does anybody else have any questions?
I have a question. For the like finance training and due process training, is that something that we'll be notified when it's available?
Yes, so currently the Department of Education is trying to get that training online. I reached out to Kendall, and that's the process now. That training is hopefully in the future going to be online. So right now we do not have a future date of okay. we don't have a date anticipated for when the training will be presented. So I can, you know, for sure reach out to her again to see if we have a range, if it's going to be first quarter or something like that, to at least make sure we're made aware of and given ample time to complete that training.
Okay.
And what about the board training?
Yes, so that is something, again, that I'll have to get a date. And because I know they just want to put all that information online, and right now there was no date given.
The board training is the one that we do.
That's
it's every 3 years.
Oh, that is, I'm sorry, so, then that is the one, okay.
And I remember being told I was elected right after that
right.
training had happened.
Okay.
Right. Is that something that then I won't do then?
And my understanding is that the board training is required of us as a board, not necessarily as you as an individual.
Okay.
So it's a little bit... That's how I'm reading it, but we can verify that to make sure.
So I will verify that information and report back.
So in the meantime, did we just say that we are reporting to Chanda things we've attended? So like if you went to the expo, then you put mm-hmm. it in our call. Like we have to do that to catch up, if you will.
Yes.
And then otherwise we'll report within the meetings, and then they come out of the notes. Is that what we had talked about as a process?
Well, as the process, because we don't want to get in the minutiae of the information during the actual board meetings.
Okay.
It would be better if, when something occurs, you let me know and I can let Chanda know,
okay.
and that way the document is and remains current, as opposed to us reporting out at a board meeting.
Unless there's significant information gained, is what I would think, because the reason that we're going to all of these events is to. Fortify the information that we all have as a board about what's happening in the community and how we're contributing or helping or learning. Is
well,
that fair?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. If there's something relevant to share, that is.
And when we were doing the strategic plan, did we at one point talk about using the first few minutes to do a quick recap of things that people attended just
mm-hmm.
to keep that present in all of our minds, not get in the weeds about it?
Right.
But to do a quick temperature around, since the last board meeting, has anybody attended anything?
Yes,
are we still thinking of doing that, or are we thinking about moving that and just doing it electronically?
Well, I think we want to, we can report out. I just don't want to extend too much time into the board meetings, but you're right. If indeed there is something that you attended and you want to share, then definitely.
Beth, if I may interject to help with this, what we can do is, as I send the minutes every month to Yvonne, I can also send this document every month and it can be part of the board package. And that way, if there are questions going to that process that we have, if there are questions, it can be brought up. And I can start that effective January. So as kind of the process, contacting Beth, what you've done, Beth will forward it to me. I'll update the document and I will send it to Yvonne for the monthly meetings.
Sounds good.
And Courtney, I'm glad you brought up strategic plan. Angela, do you want to touch base on?
Sure. Before I do that, just an amendment to attendance tonight. Karen Grandel is a regret this evening as our teacher representative.
Okay. Thank you.
So hopefully within the information that everybody received in their board information this time, you also received a compiled FSMA board 2017 action plan, or what we've been calling the 2016-17 strategic plan. What the action point at this point for us as individuals is to review this document and to be able to see if anything is missing, that we all did the one group, the goal one together, we did during retreat. Governance then met to flesh out goal three, and our friends worked very hard in development to flesh out number two. So everybody's input is now all compiled into one document with a cover sheet that explains the purpose of the strategic plan and what we hope the outcomes will be. We engaged in this as a group to A, transition from being a founding board to being a governing board, B, to really set the platform for those who will come behind us so that they have a format to work within that's simple yet achievable. And then for us as a governing board this year, the outcomes should be measurable objectives so that we show success in ways that can be seen in numbers or data, as well as working against the FSMA mission and making sure that we are upholding that and doing our duty not only as board members but as committee members to ensure that we keep in mind what the mission is as well as uphold that on behalf of our community. So I think it's all captured pretty well. Everybody's thoughts, the work we all did together is now all captured here, as well as the who, what, why, when, and where. So really what it needs is everybody's eyes on it, and then we need to approve it, and we will be finished our first ever strategic plan as a governing board.
So you would like us to then be ready to approve this in January?
We had said we would be finished it by the end of the year. I was hoping that everybody had read it as part of their board packet, but if we need the extra time, we can be ready to approve it in January.
So let me then ask, if everyone has read it, do you agree with it? Is it complete? Thank you for the job you did, by the way. It seems concise to me as I read it. So are we ready to vote on it? Any objections to voting on it? Anybody want more time? Then may I hear a motion that we accept the FSMA Board 2017 Action Plan?
Make a motion for the 2016-17 strategic plan to be voted into action.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
I'll wait for it. I'll second that.
Carrie Panola has seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No objections. Motion is passed. Thank you, Ms. Angela.
Yeah,
we put it to bed. All right. You all want to sigh?
And perfect. Then I would just ask if Ryan had anything to touch base on the bylaws.
No, I think we're going to need to have a governance committee meeting and talk about just some. I've looked over some other bylaws from some other schools and found some what may or may not be some good ideas, but it's probably better to discuss that in a smaller group.
Okay, sounds good. That's all from governance.
Thank you, Beth Carter. We'll move on. Development.
You have all seen the minutes of the development committee that Kiara was kind enough to put together for us.
We have.
And I will, a couple of items. We're excited that we're putting the action plan to bed, but in a sense, we should all be putting the action plan in action.
The plan is to bed. Now
yeah,
the action
the plan
begins.
Is, yes, exactly. The action begins. So I'll flag two items that are of time sensitivity. One is that, and this is also relevant to the annual responsibilities document that Beth was talking about. One is as members of the FSMA Board of Trustees, Board of Directors, we are all, we have all committed to making a financial contribution to FSMA each and every academic year. You have seen, Kiara has also handed out to most, if not all of you, a copy of the letter that's going out to families for the annual fund. I encourage you to look at that, and this is a good time, this is FSMA, it's a tax-deductible contribution, so as I think it says in the chart, this should be something that, dig deep. This is something that this is an organization we value highly. We're giving our time and our talent, obviously, but please try to make it, an important philanthropic contribution for you and your family. And again, this is not a suggestion. This is a requirement of our service on the board. I think the process to give money to Courtney, and that way we can reflect, and then Shonda can, is that the best process that you can inform Shonda in terms so we can mark the chart?
Absolutely.
And the other item that's on that responsibility chart is in the action plan. Note that under the action plan is that each of us is required to attend an info session, and those are happening now, is that right?
Yes.
Do we have dates on those?
Next one is next Tuesday, the 13th, and then January 10th or 11th. I'm not positive.
I think it's 10th.
Okay.
10th, thank you.
It's a Tuesday.
Right. Those are the next two. There's also the middle school information session next Wednesday night. Right. That would be an option as well.
So, again, this is not a suggestion. This is a requirement of our service to attend one of those three sessions. So make sure that's on your calendars. And then, the next steps, you'll see in the minutes, we are working. We've set the annual fund in motion, but we've got some other events that we're building towards and responsibilities. If you have any questions about that, let me know. But have I missed anything, Kiara?
No. Just as directors, if families do have questions about the annual giving premise, if you don't feel like you have the talking points to answer those questions, reach out to the development committee. And as you see in the action plan, we are looking to create a more hearty database of those talking points for you guys as the year goes on.
Which we'll review in the January
mm-hmm.
board meeting.
Yep, yeah. We'll be coming up soon. But this is a conversation that we should have as a school family, as a school community, about the annual giving. Always when it comes to this sort of giving back, it's like how much, it's about that percentage of participation and really having a robust turnout of families who contribute to our children's education. So whether it's $10 or $100, every bit matters quite a bit. So.
Courtney, do we have, from our past giving, items that and things that have happened because of the giving fund? Is there that are not part of our budget? And
right. We don't specifically use the annual fund for something. It's not earmarked for something special.
That I know, but are there just certain things that we can't cover or don't cover in our...
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely allows some flexibility. So even the musical performance that we talked about today.
Okay, because I think that would be good information for families to know. Perhaps it, and we don't have to say we do, but perhaps this is what it can be used for and what it has been used for.
Yeah, I think that's a very good suggestion. I would add to that probably to my mind, the most effective or the most eye-opening detail to share with families because they think, oh, it's a public school. We have is that as a charter school, it's different from a traditional public school, is that we don't get the same level of funding as other traditional public schools do. Most notably, this building, the building next door, we don't get any funding for our facilities. So the upgrades that we have to make to the school. So those are significant out-of-pocket expenses that we have to raise funds for. So as you're saying, there are lots of other things that we can do with it, but I think
anything
that's...
Anything we know.
Yeah, that's the simplest thing is that, mm-hmm. you know, keeping the lights on in this building, you know, paying rent in this building, paying rent next door, making upgrades, all those things, none of that comes from the district or the state.
Right. And those are huge proportions of our budget. I mean, you're talking about eighth of our budget, seventh of our budget that pays for these buildings.
Right.
Jed, out of curiosity, when you encounter the bigger donors, do they ever ask about what our, you know, our general stewardship is? Is that something that we pitch to them or they're interested in?
They, yes, anecdotally, they will say, you know, how much does your board contribute? So the fact to be able to say that 100% of our board contributes as a requirement is effective.
Even
to say that
funding.
We have an annual fund that we call on our families. Mm-hmm. They are looking for skin in the game, as it were, from families.
Right. Yeah, we're not just kind of walking around with our hands held out, you know. Yeah. We're actively
putting it in our grants when we're
yes.
looking for funding
yeah.
is extremely
yeah.
important, too, that we can state that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a bigger point.
I would notice, too, on the home page, it is very easy to just copy, paste the site for people to donate. So my daughter's having a birthday party, and instead of gifts, she actually put, you know, instead of gifts, please consider donating to the school.
Aww,
and
awesome.
And she has that there as the link, and a couple folks have actually reached out and said, "Oh, great! That what a great idea." So mm-hmm. it's very easy to just copy paste and send it out, email it out to a couple folks, and so far it seems to be pretty effective.
Great idea, Beth.
Yay,
Valerie!
Yeah.
Yes, go Valerie. Awesome. We know what she's going to be when she grows up.
Great.
Hey, that little marketing person here. Any other comments, questions for development?
Info sessions. Those are the ones listed from the Choice Expo, consistent with that handout
yes.
to families, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and our premise in that as a development committee is we really feel like we're out there talking about the school. It's important to know the details sometimes. I mean, I think we get a high level of it here, but it's a chance where we get to hear some of the more detailed pieces to be able to speak to. Which is why we thought it was really important that our board members attend at least one and get that information.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I did attend the Visions conference. Did anyone else?
No.
I didn't see anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gina was there, and I think Cheryl was there.
Cheryl,
yeah. Yeah, but and we divided up into small groups. By the time I signed up, I got into a small group that I hadn't intended to get into, but it ended up to be very interesting. So the format, I thought, was excellent. The keynote speaker was excellent, talking about program in Massachusetts and how much they've done in 20 years to bring up scores of children, you know, the children's scores. And so the information was really, really helpful. And the connections that were made, I think, were helpful, too. So I was delighted to represent First State.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
May I make a point of clarity before we move on?
Sure.
Because I think it got a little muddied in the translation. The self-evaluations are due back to you next Wednesday. It's not. There's a timeline that goes with it.
Oh, okay. That's good thing to say. I thought it was January.
So if anybody has any questions about it, but I just wanted to make sure that it was clear. So they have been handed out tonight. They are due to chair the board, and she will report to governance when they've all been received. Throughout the month of January, Yvonne will be conducting interviews, which will follow up on our self-evaluations, and it will also include a statement of our intentions for our next year or term that are... part of what she needs to know and what we need to know as a board for what slots are going to need to be filled and what recruiting needs to be done. So by 1:31, it is hoped that Chair will be able to report to governance the outcome of the interviews so that recruiting and elections and committees can be filled as necessary. So
they're
sure
due
that
by 12:14. Do you have this electronically?
Yeah, I was going to say, how are we going to be disrupting it all?
Do you have it, Beth, electronically that you can send it to all of us?
So my electronics, it's like 1978 in
all right,
house
so
right now.
Fill it out, scan it, and send it to me. Does that work?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the easiest way.
Yes, probably so.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So Wednesday's it the 14th.
The 14th, right.
It's actually due the 15th.
Oh, it's due the 15th. Okay.
So Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Thursday is the 15th.
And if you send it in, when we meet on the third Thursday, which is the... Right, so if they don't want to scan them, they want to send them in to
That would be the 15th is the third Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, wait a second.
So I'll be
next
here.
Next week. Right, so if you send them in with your
I'll be here the 13th.
My attention,
yeah.
I can pass them to Yvonne on the 15th, she and I will be meeting.
Yeah.
That helps.
Okay.
Okay? All right, either way.
All right.
But all of you, but
we have a plan.
You can drop it when you're
Maybe
walking by.
Maybe I'll just park out front and give you the paper.
Give it to a child that's running in late. No.
This should not be anonymous.
That'll teach.
Oh, no, don't have it be anonymous. Please don't have it be anonymous. I'll have to be guessing writing and have me too much work. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay.
If you have any questions about the timeline, it is in your action plan. You can follow it there.
Okay, we will do. Okay, any other comments? We good to move on? Everybody?
Thank
All right.
You.
The head of school report is attached. I don't know if you had any questions about that.
I want to highlight one piece of it.
Okay, highlight piece.
Right? So I want to, I'm going to start by, here's that big old timeline we created last year of all the things that have to happen. Uh-huh. So that was spring, summer 2016, fall 2016, where we are right now. So you'll see that we're really on track with all that we're doing, even doing some of the things that we anticipated starting in the winter are happening early. So just a quick visual of the amount of work that's happening around middle school. Next Wednesday is our middle school information session. So for the board, I have a sneak preview for you guys of the program guide about middle school that we'll be reviewing and sharing that night. There is a team of about 10 teachers who are working on this middle school piece. They come together every Wednesday. They've committed to working on this every week. They come with an incredible variety of backgrounds and expertise that have allowed us to develop something that they are all very excited about. So if anybody wants to hear more about middle school, come out next week. The other two pieces that I want to mention is that we received our first grant for middle school curriculum piece. So we received a $7,500 grant from Verizon to add to our middle school material components around science and math. And then I also wanted to update you, and I know we have talked about this a little bit, but I wanted to formally update you on the renovation plan for the building next door. So there was an original plan that we would be renovating the third floor for next year. We have mapped it out and pushed that back a year. And I know we've talked about that a little bit in finance and different pieces, but I just want to bring everybody up to speed on that. There's enough room on the second floor for us to utilize that space to have middle school down in what used to be the old library. There's a couple rooms off of that. It's a really unique space for them that they'll be able to utilize. And then keep our classrooms on that floor. And that allows us to then really plan a little bit more carefully for the third floor. We felt really rushed trying to do that right now without knowing exactly how it was going to function. So this way we feel like it makes better sense for us. And those kids get a really cool space for next year coming into as that first cohort of kids. So it absolutely makes sense. It allows us to kind of keep ourselves a smaller community over there and not spread out too much because we don't need to just yet. And the kids are really excited about that space being there, which is really cool.
Just for context for everybody, that was where we were when we did the second part of our retreat. So that you know what that space is.
Off to the right.
That big board meeting table and the library, and there's two classrooms there. It's
really neat.
It's a beautiful space for them. And it'll end up being, that whole floor will end up being middle school. So it'll end up that the 4, 5, 6s are on the first floor and the third floor when we build it out. But we don't need to do that just yet. So we can delay that, plan for it a little differently, continue to raise our funds for that. And be able to build something that matches exactly what we need.
How many students are we looking at for next year, do you think?
For middle school? It's only one cohort of kids, so 25 to 30.
25 to 30, that's what I thought. Okay.
It's the year after when it really comes in.
Mushrooms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. So those are the pieces around middle school that I wanted to share.
Exciting. Any other questions or comments? Always growing, implementing.
Never a dull moment.
No. Under new business, we have, did everybody get a copy of the annual report? Was everybody impressed? So I hope you read it. I thought it was a great report. Courtney, thank you for all your hard work putting this all together. Yeah, this was very concise, and it's just great to have. It's part of our history, isn't it? Does anyone have any questions about it or comments?
What a great development tool.
Great development tool, you're right. Okay. And
just
then,
to revisit, man, that middle school session, you stay next week Wednesday, correct? Right?
Yes, 6:30 at night.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Courtney.
Yep, I'm gonna go above the annual report and go back to the org framework piece.
Yeah,
So I have for you, so the, just to recap a little bit, there was a framework that we used to use around organizational, academic, and financial. They have been revised. I was actually a part of the group that revised the organizational performance framework, so I can tell you it's really good. No, I'm just kidding. But it makes sense. I feel really comfortable knowing that it makes sense. I have for you the revised framework and also a guidance document that goes with you that, like, as you look at this and you go, what are they looking for? It's all described in here, so I want to give everybody one of those. We will be judged on this one for next year.
Okay.
It's the new one for next year, but the measures are much more clear than they have been in the past. It tells us exactly what the pieces are. It is a complete compliance document. There is not just into it. These are all of our base requirements and that we are required to be doing. So we're looking at knowing exactly what those are. They are very spelled out, and at this point, I'm comfortable saying that as we went through it, there was very few areas that I thought we had to tweak anything. There was actually only... In the meetings, only one thing I think that came up on our list of things that we would have been missing if we were judged on it this year, and it was something that needed to be on our website that needed to be, and it's now on our website and
good
to go.
Good.
And then linking that back to the head of school report, there's a whole list of audits that happen. So some of those things are happening in those audits that then get reported out on these. So it's just a piece that I wanted you to see and know so that you guys know what the compliance piece looks like for us. Any questions on that one?
Big Brother's watching. Over the holiday, I'm sure you'll all have time to read through it.
It's just nice to know what the hoops are. Right?
It's wonderful to know. No, I think we need to know. Absolutely.
And how they're weighted and everything else. Now, it's all very clear. Mm-hmm. And it makes a lot of sense. And listening to the group at the table, I understood where they went with certain things and how they made sense of it, and it made sense for us to do that. So the last piece on that, you want me to keep going, Yvonne?
Yeah, parentally.
The last
yeah.
piece that I'd like to discuss or get approval on is the parental leave policy. So at one point we had discussions around sick time and how we do those pieces for our staff. One of the things that we do not do is allow people to accrue sick time year to year, which is different than many schools. Many schools allow you to accrue sick time. However, for us, when we started way back when, that was a decision that the founding board had made that sick time would not be accrued. And I've heard that other charter schools do that because it's really hard to plan for. You can't budget for it. This way, it becomes really tricky, especially when you're in those founding years of figuring out how budgets work. So we did not allow teachers to accrue sick time. That said, one of the things that we heard early on from our younger teachers was there was a deterrent to working here because if they were going to have children or start a family, they wanted to be able to work somewhere where they could accrue some time, because that's typical for teachers, to be able to use that time and be able to have some leave. So at some point along the way, we came up with a parental leave policy. It was a very generic statement around some basic principles and a basic timeline and structure. This year, we looked at it a little bit more carefully and realized that it was very vague. and allowed for a lot of different interpretations. So we had our lawyers rewrite a parental leave policy that matched the intent of the first one. So the policy that you're reading matches the intent of the first one, which is that a teacher or a staff member choosing to adopt or have a child, male or female, it's a parental leave policy, that they would get 4 weeks of paid leave that we would provide for them. And so we felt really strongly that that was really important for our teachers to have access to in lieu of the fact that they can't accrue sick time. So that was where that's kind of the brief timeline of that policy. It is something that I feel really strongly about for our staff and in taking care of the people that are here and making sure that we are appealing to teachers in all stages of their life. So that's kind of where it stemmed from before. And the policy now is very clear and cut and dry, and all the legalities are there and written in a different way. So that's where we are with that piece.
Any questions?
Okay. The non-accrual of sick time, do they get paid out at the end of the year?
So
if they don't use it?
They did not. That became an issue for us last year because all of a sudden you realize you've got days and
you can't use them or
at the end of the year became really tricky for us last
right.
year. So we had a committee come together and work through that piece, and they can get paid back for certain portions of them. They don't get it. It's not a full day-to-day ratio, but there was a committee that came together and created a structure to pay back for some of that if they chose not to use their days. And it still allows us way underspending of what it would cost if we had to do subs for all those days. So budget-wise, it still comes in under that. It helps us if they choose that option. Actually, not only for kids in continuity and consistency, mm-hmm. but it does not impact us financially.
What happens if a teacher suffers a serious illness that they don't have enough sick time?
Yeah, I mean, they can take family medical leave act at any time, and there's a 12-week piece that they could take at any time. They can put in for an extended leave. It's not a paid leave. So they would get paid for their sick time for that year. But they would not get paid to be out. They would probably most likely go on short-term disability or long-term disability and receive payment that way was what I think would likely happen.
And is that with separate disability insurance that we purchase for them? Or
that's through there.
Is that the state's disability insurance policy? Yeah, all state employees they're covered on short-term and long-term disability.
Through the state, okay. And do our teachers and other staff get to participate in the state sick leave donation and borrowing bank or whatever?
Yeah, FSMA does not have a sick leave donation policy, no. And there isn't a statewide one. That's done school by school.
Okay.
But it's something that we consider if we chose to.
Two-part question.
Yeah.
Courtney, one around, when does this take a... When is a teacher eligible? I see it mentions that all teachers are eligible, but is there like a lead-in discretionary period when
for,
this becomes effective? Or is it effective at employment?
So it follows the guidelines of FMLA, and FMLA, I believe, has you working 6 months or 12 months before it becomes... but it's based on the components of FMLA, and it does say that.
Based on
FMLA, something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
you have
the website.
So it's here in
there.
Yeah, it
is here.
Excellent. Okay. And I just thought maybe that was contingent only
for
FMLA. It didn't apply.
No, our parental leave policy is
it rolls up
based
underneath.
Under, yep.
Excellent, okay. And then it also mentions that the is an exception based on the discretion of FSMA.
Taken
intermittently
yes.
for approval of FSMA?
Yep.
Yep. Is there a formal process around that, or is that just simply at the discretion of head of school level?
Yeah, that piece, most of the approval through that piece is through the head of school, so it would be somebody who says,
Just wondering around the how that's administered.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to mitigate any ambiguity.
Agreed. I think that's pretty typical. And we could clarify a process for that if we need to.
As this is written, it does not incorporate the FMLA eligibility. It says eligible employees, all employees. So you could walk in the door today and give birth tomorrow, and you would get this. I mean, I don't think that's going to be a big cause for concern, I don't think. But
at the same time, if we're hiring somebody that's 9 months pregnant, means that we want them to be here, and that they're coming, and there's also the piece that they have to come back after that, or they repay pieces of it. So,
there's a difference between these.
I could hear both sides of it, and I'm happy to take either piece back if we want to alter.
I don't think there's the serious potential for abuse like there would be for other, like, oh yeah, well I just walked in here and now my arm hurts or something.
Right.
I mean, pregnancy is not exactly the same thing.
Right.
I thought it was quite fair as I read through it. I thought it was very respectful.
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to be able to have people take advantage of the policy, certainly early on in their employment, earlier on than you get FMLA.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is that the way that our sick day accrual works is that we give it to everybody up front, so you get 10 days on the first day of school. In most schools, you earn a day each month as you go.
Yeah.
We did not do that. It became really cumbersome and it became really tricky. So if somebody were to come in and have a baby right away or adopt a child, I mean, that's probably more realistic, right, that someone would come in and we wouldn't know what was going on. They'd adopt a child in the second week of school. They'd have to use their 10 days as part of that 4 weeks. So we're talking about 2 weeks of pay that we'd be providing at the very most for that type of situation, and I would argue that if we've hired that person and we want them to be here, let's give them 2 weeks of pay to be at home with a new baby and
come back,
go from there. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine a situation where it becomes true, like where it's not right for people, if they're people that we've hired and want to be here.
I mean, I suppose if you rolled this out and you did encounter abuse, we could
revise it at any time. Yeah, and that's what led us to this, right? So the question had come up, and we realized that we did not have a clear policy, so we wrote a much clearer policy.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, looks good to me. Any other questions, comment?
Do you need a vote on this? Mm-hmm.
It's one that I'm bringing to you guys to vote on. It's going to go into effect, and I would, because it's a policy of the school, I would like a vote on
it. And we can do that. Any other discussion around it before we take a vote?
And this policy will be effective today,
assuming.
As soon as you all vote on it.
Okay.
The FMLA policy is just really sort of a restatement of the law.
Of the law, yeah.
All right, I'll make a motion to accept the parental leave and FMLA policies.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Hello, Duckworth. Second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
With no objections?
Abstain.
Motion. Okay, we have one abstention.